God Nicholas Wiggers, Confessor, First Order. In the Cologne on the Rhine, where the brothers who had been sent there by Father Caesar of Spire had established a Franciscan convent, there shone, 400 years later, a bright light of holiness and zeal for souls in the person of Father Nicholas Wiggers. He was born in Holland, and as a priest in his native country, he had made the greatest sacrifices when that country fell away from the faith. When the Calvinistic heresy came into power and Catholic priests could exercise their ministry only under great danger to freedom and life, Nicholas and a few other priests traveled over the entire country to encourage the Catholics who had remained true. In the cities as well as in the villages, Nicholas assembled them in secret places, strengthened them in their faith, administered the holy sacraments to them, and encouraged them to perseverance. Although he was well off, he lived in poverty, and like an apostle. Constantly he traveled on foot and spent no money on himself, but much for the poor Catholics and their religious needs. Often he was pursued by the police and escaped from their hands, sometimes as if by a miracle. In the year 1602, he journeyed to Rome. On his return, he remained for some time in Cologne to recommend his further ministrations to the three Magi at the shrine of their relics. There, too, he pleaded to know what was God's will with regard to his future, because he sometimes entertained the desire to serve God in the order of Friars Minor. He then recognized this as his true calling and pleaded at once for the holy habit at the Franciscan Friary at the Olives. He obtained his wish on the feast of St. Michael, 1603. Although he was already 48 years old and quite exhausted by much labor, Nicholas was, nevertheless, a model to all the novices in all the exercises and austerities. After he had made his vows, he was appointed to the task of preaching, which responsibility he exercised with great success. Thereafter, he was appointed novice master, then guardian at Cologne, and in 1610 he was elected provincial, to the great joy of the entire city. In all circles of society, he was accorded the greatest respect and confidence. Not only many citizens, but also the most distinguished men at the University of Cologne joined the Brotherhood of the Blessed Sacrament, which he founded. While he held the office of provincial, to which he was re-elected three times after his first term expired, he strove with all earnestness to lead the cloistral life of his holy vocation as perfectly as possible. At the instance of the Archbishop, he was ordered by the Holy See to reform other convents also, which duty carried with it not a few difficulties. Grievously accused, he was even removed from Cologne for a whole year, but when he was pronounced guiltless of the charges brought against him, he returned, and the whole city rejoiced. Nevertheless, Father Nicholas was happier in exile and desolation than amid the honors of the people. He dearly loved interior prayer, to which he sometimes devoted whole nights. He was sometimes in ecstasy, surrounded by a bright light. At such times, he often called out, as did St. Francis in an earlier day, "My God and my all, who art thou, and who am I?" Many a sick person was miraculously healed through his prayers. Tried by severe illness and confirmed in patience, he departed this life in a holy manner on May 25th, 1628. His tomb, splendidly hewn out of stone, was embellished with marble by the Catholics in Holland, where his labors and sacrifices were constantly kept in remembrance. Objects that he had used were venerated like relics of a saint, and several sick persons recovered after contact with these objects. unwillingness to make sacrifices. Consider what sacrifices the saintly Father Nicholas made of his wealth and of his person in order to preserve his Catholic countrymen in Holland in the true faith and to save their souls. There are circumstances when the ordinary fulfillment of duty does not suffice, where Christian charity requires the extraordinary. Then one must be willing to make sacrifices in order to save immortal souls, for which Jesus Christ consummated the sacrifice of the cross. Therefore, St. John writes, "In this we have known the charity of God, because he has laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." 1 John 3:16. How do matters stand with you in regard to willingness to make sacrifices? Consider how self-sacrificing the servant of God Nicholas proved to be later in complying with the will of God concerning his own soul. While venerating the three kings, he recognized that God wished him in future to serve him in the religious state. At once he sacrificed his previous field of labor, his native land, his freedom, and through the three vows of religion he gave all to God. Of us also, God sometimes asks a sacrifice for the salvation of our soul, perhaps a sacrifice that is very difficult, as was Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his only son. But when God asks it, and the salvation of your soul requires it, then you must make it. Because what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8:37. Is there anything you must still sacrifice for the good of your soul? Consider the blessing and the success in the ministry which attended the sacrifices made by the servant of God, Nicholas. Often our efforts alone are not sufficient to produce success. Sacrifices must first be made, just as the seed produces no fruit if it does not fall upon the ground and die. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. John 12:25. If here on earth you do not see the fruit of your labor, effort, and sacrifice, nevertheless, in eternity, where Christ reigns in glory because of the sufferings he endured, they will merit for you the incorruptible crown. Prayer of the Church. Almighty King, equip thy combatants with persevering strength, so that those who on the way of this mortal life are made joyful over the crown of thy incarnate Son, may complete their course and obtain the victor's prize of a blessed immortality. Through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you.